Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football on a Friday morning here. Friday, July 20th, 2012. Now, less than a week away from Green Bay Packers training camp. Enjoy it, folks. This is your last weekend without football. I mean, we don't have games coming up yet, but, you know, training camp starts next week, shareholders meeting next week, and it all snowballs from there. Yep, training camp gets underway. Practices begin on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday too. I forget the exact schedule. They probably take a break in there somewhere, give them a day off. I'm not sure what day it is, though. But yeah, I mean, it's they go quite a while, and then they have, in 2 weeks' time, they'll have the, in fact, what is it, 2 weeks from today would be the family night, you know, the annual intra-squad practice, scrimmage, following that preseason games. So yeah, it's creeping up on us here. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, all those comments will show up on our live blog, or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. And your comments are also being approved here this morning by our live blog director, John Rahor. John says, you mean the annual torrential rainstorm at Lambeau? Yeah. For some reason, the family night scrimmage, it means rain. Whenever the Packers hold it, it storms. Maybe that's a good thing for as much of a lack of rain the state of Wisconsin has gotten this summer and other areas of the Midwest as well. They could use the rain, but Packers probably just hope it doesn't fall, you know, within that couple hour window of the family night scrimmage. They'll take it before or after that. But this morning, I left a, if you scroll to the bottom right hand corner, we have the most recent posts here at Cheesehead TV, including this morning's Packers Daily Links, taking a look at some of the things happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday, head coach Mike McCarthy commented to the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee, Green and Gold Today, the Packers talk show, host Jason Wilde, talked about, responded to comments made by Detroit Lions head coach Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz had basically criticized, I don't know if it's an outright criticism, but critiqued head coach Mike McCarthy's choice to hold a team-building exercise during minicamp. We've talked about this before. Back in June, head coach Mike McCarthy, as he always does every year, takes 1 day of minicamp practice to hold a team-building activity. This year, they went clay pigeon shooting just north of Green Bay a little bit. Took a day to do that, you know, have a good time, have a few laughs, and have the team bond, basically. And it's been a tradition under head coach Mike McCarthy. They've gone bowling. They've gone paintball shooting. They've gone, I don't know all what they've done. They've done dodgeball. I remember, what was it, 2 years ago, they had like a home run derby type of thing. It was kind of weird, though. It was like part of practice. That was the one. That was the Super Bowl year that Brian Bulaga won the home run derby and ended up winning a car. He had like this old beater that said Super Bowl or bust on it. Anyhow, it's been a tradition under Mike McCarthy. And basically, a reporter asked Jim Schwartz about that. And Schwartz had responded by saying he couldn't understand how the Detroit Lions couldn't waste a practice like that. You know, use the word waste. You know, which, you know, obviously rubs some people the wrong way. Like, that's pretty strong for a mini camp practice. One mini camp practice. John Rahor on our live blog says, Mike McCarthy took the high road. Schwartz took a shot at Mike McCarthy and the way he runs his team. and you wonder why one has a Super Bowl and the other has players getting arrested and play with the stupid tough guy approach. Yeah, I mean, it was foolish for Jim Schwartz to say that. I mean, what more can you say? I mean, the Lions themselves aren't really ones to talk after how many players have been arrested and how many silly things have happened in Detroit lately. Between that and Ndamukong Suh and his stomp last year, Jim Schwartz getting into a tiff with Jim Harbaugh after a game last year, Titus Young cheap-shotting, punching a teammate, you name it. The Lions aren't really ones to talk. So, Mike McCarthy, basically on the ESPN radio show, I'm kind of babbling here and talking in circles a little bit, but Mike McCarthy said he got a chuckle out of, Jim Schwartz's response, basically. So, you know, and nothing big here. The issue, I'm sure, is over now. Might be brought up again when the Packers play the Lions this year, but I don't imagine this story is going to linger too much. In other news, Aaron Rodgers yesterday commented about his contract in an interview with Ian Rapoport of NFL.com, NFL Network as well. The NFL Network sent Ian Rapoport out to State Line, Nevada, where the American Century Championship Golf Tournament is being held. You know, Aaron Rodgers, AJ Hawk compete in that every year. It's a made-for-TV event. It's going to be televised today and the rest of the weekend by the Golf Network, today on NBC Sports Network, and the weekend by NBC, main network there. But anyhow, while Ian Rapoport was there, he took the time to interview Aaron Rodgers, asked him about Drew Brees' recent contract, the big mega money deal there in which, you know, Drew Brees is getting paid millions and millions of dollars, the richest contract in NFL history in terms of guaranteed money, something like that. And how much of an impact that deal will have on Aaron Rodgers' next contract. Right now, Aaron Rodgers obviously underpaid compared to, the type of performance he's putting up. And, he got that contract back when he was, you know, quite inexperienced. So at the time, it seemed a fair contract. Now that he's outperformed it, the Packers are getting a bargain. But, Rodgers was asked about Brees' contract and then, you know, his contract, and Rodgers said, quote, "That stuff takes care of itself. I still have a few years left on my deal, and we'll talk about that when we get there," end quote. Rodgers not saying too much. Obviously doesn't want to draw attention to himself, doesn't want his contract to be a distraction. He still does have, 3 years left on his deal, including this year. It's something that for the time being, he's fine playing under the contract. I'm sure he would love to get an extension, would love to get, paid more, but, there's other things going on in the organization as well. Other guys' contract coming up first, things like that. So, Aaron Rodgers just being Aaron Rodgers, deflecting attention, something we've, really hasn't been a surprise coming from him. John Rahor says, remember some of the head scratching when he signed that extension after five games as a starter? I'm not sure it was exactly five games, but I mean, it was, I think what, it was in 2008, after Aaron Rodgers had just been, the starter for half a season or whatever it is, and, was playing well, but, people were kind of wondering a little bit, should he have gotten the extension then? But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely, been a bargain for the Packers in retrospect, since that time, not looking back upon it. Kevin Lamb says on the live blog, A-Rod taking the high road just like his head coach. Exactly. I mean, it's a good thing these guys act with class. I mean, they're taking the high road, and you know, obviously they're fielding tough questions from the media, but not taking the bait. You know, we're not creating a stir, basically, you know, doing what they should do and downplaying these situations. You know, let guys like Jim Schwartz create the headlines and look foolish as a result. So you got to respect that, the way Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, going about their business here. But anyhow, you know, today is the offensive line preview day here at Railbird Central, as we're going through every position on the team, and we've actually made our way through the entire offense as of today, as we end it with the offensive line. Next week, we'll get to the defensive side of the football. Offensive line is always a, you know, it's probably the toughest position to go through, just because it's the biggest. You know, you're talking about five guys in the lineup, and you know, the Packers obviously have more than just five guys on their offensive line. We're going to be talking about, you know, how many do they have total? I mean, it's like between 15 and 20 offensive linemen they have bringing to training camp, you know, of course, including all the rookie free agents, things like that. But let's get down to it and talk some offensive line here as we, you know, do our pre-training camp preview here of the position and what's going on. So offensive line. I mean, I guess I should say this right off the bat. You know, I just every day I look for Packers news, including Packers Daily Links, and I think it was in yesterday's Daily Links or 2 days ago. SB Nation, which is part of the network that the blog Acme Packing Company belongs to, had ranked every offensive line in the NFL. And they posted an article on this. And, you know, I'm not sure how they did it, whether it was voted upon or it was just one writer's opinion or what have you. But, you know, it came across as the entire network's SB Nation's opinion, ranking all the offensive line. And they had the Green Bay Packers ranked number one, the number one ranked offensive line in the entire NFL. And I just sat there and I kind of scratched my head and like, man, I love it. I really hope the Packers are the number one offensive line in the NFL. I guess I just thought it was a little premature for this team to, you know, have the number one ranked offensive line. I don't think they've performed up to that that high, lofty standard yet. Maybe they will, but just not yet. And I really like the offensive line, where they're going, where they're headed, just based upon what I've seen from in games, things that count. They're just not up to that standard quite yet. Hopefully they'll get there. But I guess just working our way left to right across the starting projected offensive line, you know, your projected starter off the bat at left tackle is expected to be Marshall Newhouse. Packers made headlines, you know, way back during the offseason. We're talking about April here. Released Chad Clifton with a year left on his contract, a guy who's had injury issues, a guy who's been the cornerstone of the offensive line for more than a decade in Green Bay. And thanks to Chad Clifton for all his years of service. But he's been injury prone over his career. He's usually fought through it, but last year he missed a lot of time, and the Packers just really couldn't take that chance anymore. And Chad Clifton had a great career in Green Bay. So, again, thanks for his years of service. But the Packers have to move on. And the guy, taken over by default is, Marshall Newhouse, the guy who filled in for Clifton, you know, last year for the most part. You know, what Newhouse started, what it was like 13 out of 16 games and you know, played in more than that when he, came into the game when Clifton and Brian Bulaga had been hurt. So no, Marshall Newhouse getting a lot of playing time last year, had an up and down year, gave up a lot of sacks, gave up a lot of quarterback hurries, a lot of quarterback hits, lots of them, you know, more than his fair share. But the thinking is the Packers went, even though Newhouse played, you know, comparatively poor, the Packers still went 15-1. They found a way to win with him in, during games, during the regular season. Everybody looks, left tackle is such an important position in the NFL. You're protecting the quarterback's backside. You know, what are the Packers going to do here? Can they afford to keep Marshall Newhouse in there if he's going to give up sacks? I mean, you just sit here and you hope that the guy continues to develop. He continues to get better. Last year, he didn't have an off-season program. He's a young guy. He's entering his third year in the NFL. This year, he's got the whole off-season to learn. He's got another year in the weight room. You hope he's just going to get better, and I think he will get better. The one thing they say about Marshall Newhouse is, he's pretty athletic. He's got good feet. He moves pretty well for a guy of his size, and that gives him a chance to succeed at a position like left tackle, where you have to be kind of nimble. You have to be protecting the Aaron Rodgers, his backside, and mirroring what some pretty elite edge pass rushers are bringing to the table. And that's where the Packers are at with Marshall Newhouse. I think he'll perform well this year. I think he'll improve. Will he be great? No, but the Packers will be okay just as long as he is, he improves. He takes a step forward. If he cuts those sacks in half, and even though he might not cut them down to zero, I mean, nobody expects that from him, but let's cut the sacks down and we'll be all right. You know, that's the way I come at it from a fan perspective. As an owner perspective, an owner of the team. what else here? Left guard TJ Lang. TJ Lang last year took over for Darren College. After the Super Bowl, Darren College departed in free agency to the Arizona Cardinals. You know, Darren College had done a good job, but not a great job for the Packers for years. Some people called Darren College kind of a finesse player, wasn't exactly the rough and tumble type. Whereas TJ Lang is a little bit more. He's the guy who will mix it up a little bit more, a little bit tougher, a little bit more of a better, run blocker, things like that. And TJ Lang, I really think, improved as the year went along. He had a little bit of issues early last season with penalties. You know, it was his first season as a starter as well. So you could kind of understand, there's some butterflies. He's inexperienced, had some penalties. But, from about midseason on last year, TJ Lang really ramped it up. I think he did a good job. And I would say he did a better job than Marshall Newhouse last year. Just a young guy on the rise entering the prime of his career. He's entering a contract year. This is the last year of TJ Lang's contract. So, of course, it's always kind of, this thing where, heading into a contract year, those players want to have a good season because it's, TJ Lang has a good year. He's going to get paid a lot more next year. So, I think he's only going to improve, just going to get better, another year more experienced, a year under his belt. He's on the rise, one of the good up and coming young guards in the NFL, and he'll continue to improve. Center, big news, of course. More change here. In the offseason, Scott Wells, a guy who made his first Pro Bowl last year, had a good season. Scott Wells had, three good seasons in a row for the Packers here after at one point, he was kind of demoted. But Scott Wells was your bulldog type of player, really maximized his potential, an overachiever. But he left in free agency this offseason. Didn't think he was getting paid enough by the Packers. And so Wells leaves, and the Packers got to do something. Well, they go and sign Jeff Saturday in free agency. Jeff Saturday, one of the best centers in the NFL over the past decade or so with the Indianapolis Colts. He was the center for quarterback Peyton Manning there. Those two guys, you know, really did a good job in Indianapolis, won a Super Bowl together. Here's a guy who could be a future Pro Football Hall of Famer. I can't go out on a limb and say Jeff Saturday is going to make the Hall of Fame, but there's potential there for him to do it, especially if he could win a Super Bowl with the Packers. That would only help, right? The worry about Jeff Saturday is that he's too old. He's now 37 years old and you know, perhaps past his prime. Maybe, you know, he's not going to be what he once was anymore. You know, people are worried. You know, the Packers only signed him to a two-year contract, so he's obviously not the long-term solution at center in Green Bay. But, you know, here's the thing. The Packers aren't expecting him to be. All they want to get is a good year, maybe two out of him, kind of a stopgap. But, I mean, all they want to do is get a Super Bowl run out of him. You know, if the Packers can win a Super Bowl with Jeff Saturday, you know, it will have all been worth it, obviously. And they just want to bridge the gap until they can find that next center. And, I still don't think they know who the next starting center will be, the long-term solution is. But, you know, they'll cross that bridge when they get there, you know. For the moment being, they just want a veteran guy who's got all this experience, knows what's going on, knows the game, is savvy. Here's a guy who has experience in the Colts hurry-up, no-huddle offense. He can do that with the Packers. He's going to be a great mentor, a great, you know, influence on people. John Rahor says on our live blog, a great veteran presence along the O-line, a teacher for the younger players, skilled at playing the game. Ted the Sledge says his only concern that Father Time catches up on him quickly. Yeah, nobody can predict the future here, but the Packers really, like I said, just looking for one good season out of him, really. If they can put together a Super Bowl run with Jeff Saturday, like I said, it will have all been worth it. So, we might be talking 1 year from now about the question marks at center as they're looking for the next one, but... you know, let's worry about that conversation a year from now. Everybody will happily, you know, delay that discussion for another day for solid play at center this year. Right guard, Josh Sitton. Here is really, in my opinion, one of the best guards in the entire NFL, really. I don't think people will debate that a whole lot. I mean, you can certainly argue that he's not the best, but he's up there in the discussion. I mean, he's been a starter now for several seasons. He's entering, what, his fifth year in the NFL? You know, and he's been starter for everything but his rookie year, and he even got a little bit of playing time his rookie year. Ted the Sledge says, Sin is the most underrated hair on the whole team. Yes, he does. Josh Sitton's mane. Josh Sitton, he's known as perhaps being the best run blocker on the Packers offensive line. The guy who can, you know, clear the way. If you need a tough yard, that's where the Packers are going to go behind, run behind Josh Sitton. But, you know, he's done a good job pass blocking as well. It's not like he's chopped liver there. That's what the Packers have in him. He was, you know, I've mentioned this little tidbit before. In 2010, the Packers Super Bowl season, Josh Sitton was voted as the NFL's Offensive Lineman of the Year by the NFL Alumni Association. So, you know, former NFL players voting upon the current, you know, players in the NFL and named him the best offensive lineman in the league in 2010. That's pretty high praise. But, you know, he wasn't named to the All-Pro team. He never has been named to a Pro Bowl yet, so there's kind of that. But, you know, of course, there's little biases that happen in those kind of situations anyway. But, you know, Josh Sitton, up and coming. You know, he kind of teams with, you know, TJ Lang a little bit. They're both young guys, both entering the prime of their careers. You really think the Packers should be able to do some damage with those guards here in this year and coming years if they can keep those guys together healthy and under contract. So it's an exciting time and to see those guys playing well, and they can really have a good impact on the offense. Right tackle, same way. I mean, Brian Bulaga, one of the best up-and-coming tackles in the game. I kind of look at his progress a little bit like Marshall Newhouse in his rookie year just 2 years ago during the Super Bowl season. Bulaga really struggled during the regular season, you know, gave up more sacks than people were probably comfortable with. But, you know, he just improved as the year went along, and he really hit his peak at the right time during that playoff run, you know, during the playoffs in the Super Bowl against the Steelers, gave up very few sacks, and, you know, just, like I said, peaked. I mean, if you're going to play well, what better time than to play well in the playoff than the playoffs? So he did that, and he took that momentum built during the playoffs into 2010, had a really solid season last year, had a little bit of injury issues. What did Bulaga miss? A couple games, two games maybe, something like that. Nothing serious, though, and just, you know, kept playing well. Really, one of the best young tackles in the NFL. I mean, on the verge of the Pro Bowl. I think head coach Mike McCarthy has said that during his press conferences. You know, there's been a debate a little bit, including myself adding to it, you know, what the Packers should do with Bulaga. Should they move him to the left side where he's protecting Aaron Rodgers' backside, or should he just stay at right tackle where he's gotten some comfort and, you know, just and not mess with things. You know, he's doing good over there, so keep him over there. And it looks for the time being that the Packers will keep him on the right side. I have advocated that they should move him to the left side. I mean, I advocated it prior to this off season. You know, I thought if they were going to make that move, they should have done it back in, you know, March, April. And, you know, I don't think they should do it anymore now that they've committed to him at right tackle. Keep him there. But, yeah, I mean, that's where Brian Bulaga is at. I think he will be a Pro Bowler, and he is just doing everything right. A good guy, says all the right things, does all the right things. And you know, this team as a whole, you know, with the exception of Jeff Saturday, who's an old veteran, all the rest of the guys, the other projected starting four, are young, up and coming. I mean, it really could be one of the best offensive lines in the NFL if they progress as expected, you know. But again, things just got to play out. So hopefully they do so. Now taking a look at some of the backups. You've got Derek Sherrod, last year's first round draft choice. You know, probably wasn't ready to contribute heavily his rookie year, and that's okay. I mean, everybody gives rookies a pass, but, you know, they're kind of expected to, especially first-rounders, to be big-time contributors down the line. Of course, what was really unfortunate was the broken leg Derek Sherrod suffered, you know, late last year. I think it was the Chiefs game. You know, and you know, you hope he comes back and is ready here during training camp, but we don't really know if he'll be ready to go full-time right away, or maybe if it's halfway through training camp he'll be ready to go, or will it be the regular season? Will he be the same? We don't know. We wait and see. But, I mean, expecting that he's ready by the time the regular season starts, at least, he's probably your swing backup tackle. Probably back up both the left and right sides. You know, they'll kind of wait and see on a guy like Marshall Newhouse. If Newhouse plays well, fine. But if not, if Newhouse struggles, you know, it could be a thing where the Packers go to Sherrod at some point during the season. You know, maybe not right away. They'll give Newhouse certainly the benefit of the doubt and let him, you know, see what he's got. But if he falters, if he struggles, then maybe Sherrod comes in. The other veteran backup on the offensive line, Evan Dietrich Smith, you know, most well known for being the recipient of Ndamukong Suh's stomp during the Thanksgiving Day game last year. You know, Dietrich Smith came in and got some playing time last year when injuries happened. You know, I think Bulaga got hurt there, had to come out for a few games. They moved TJ Lang to right tackle, so Dietrich Smith played a little bit of left guard. Didn't Josh Sitton miss one game, and he got to play right guard. So, and he's a guy that can play center as well. He's the Packers' top backup center, although Scott Wells was very healthy last year, so Dietrich Smith didn't end up playing a whole lot at center. But anyway, you know, he's one of your top interior swing linemen, can play any of those three positions on the interior, and, you know, did a good job in a reserve role last season. You know, showed some moxie by mixing it up with Ndamukong Suh, and did well in that Bears game late in the season. So, you know, they're just, the thing is he starting material? I'm not sure. You know, is he the Packers' long-term solution at center? You know, I don't think they're ready to go that way yet, that they want to make Evan Dietrich Smith, or EDS for short, want to make him the long-time starter there. Who knows? Maybe he's still young. Maybe he develops. Maybe he improves and will take on a larger role eventually. But his job this season is going to be kind of like last year. The veteran swing backup along the interior of the offensive line. The Packers in the offseason drafted in the 7th round Andrew Datko, an offensive lineman from Florida State. A guy with a lot of potential. You know, it's been said that had he not had some shoulder injury issues in college, he would have been drafted a lot higher. I've even heard, you know, just people throwing this out there, not that it means anything, but Andrew Datko could have been a first rounder. Well, I mean, I think that's just people, I'm not sure how much stock to put into that, but I mean, obviously the Packers drafted him and like him. I mean, I certainly hope that's the case, but he's got a long way to go to prove himself. And, you know, he's probably one of those guys, too, the Packers will be looking to back up both the right and left sides this year. And but he'll be fighting for a roster spot. He's not guaranteed a one. He's going to have to prove himself during training camp, and he'll be a guy to keep an eye on. So, you know, what else do we have here? A guy I really like, kind of underrated here, I'm not even sure how you classify him. Ray Dominguez was an undrafted rookie last year, started the year on the practice squad, was eventually promoted to the 53-man roster mid last year when some injuries happened. I really like the guy. I don't know. I just watched him during practice last year a little bit, and I like what he's got. You know, the Packers tried him out at, I think, right tackle last year to begin with. He didn't really play all that well, so they moved him to guard. But I thought he did well. And, you know, he could be perhaps the Packers' top reserve guard. I mean, he'll certainly be fighting with Evan Dietrich Smith for that distinction. But I think there's some talent there. You know, the knock against a guy like Ray Dominguez is maybe he's not versatile enough. You know, when you're a backup and the Packers only keep 8 offensive linemen on the whole roster, they need their backups to be versatile and guys who can play, you know, either center guard or guard tackle, whatever. And Ray Dominguez might be a guard and a guard only. So there's kind of that limitation there. But I think he actually can be a really good guard, you know, and, you know, he'll be, again, fighting for a backup spot. Who else do we have? Be a good competition for young guys at backup center. Last year, they kept Samson Genus on the practice squad the whole year long, kept him, brought him back this year. There's obviously something they like about him if they kept him around all that time. But he'll be competing with an undrafted rookie from this year, Tommy Draheim. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. He's from San Diego State. The Packers gave him the largest signing bonus out of any undrafted rookie this year. You know, the Packers signed like 15 undrafted rookies, and they gave this guy the highest signing bonus. So that shows you a little bit how much they like him, this Tommy Draheim. He was a left tackle at San Diego State, but they're moving him to center in the pros. And kind of a project, but a guy they must think has a lot of potential. Of course, you know the story, too, that the Packers pretty much draft left tackles almost exclusively or sign them and then move them somewhere else. You know, once they get to the NFL, they just really like the athleticism of left tackles and think those guys can move around and do well. So be interesting to see what this guy has. I mean, as for the rest of the offensive line, we're talking, you know, long shot guys who will have to prove themselves. Herb Taylor, a guy who spent some time on the 53-man roster last year, he's a long shot to stick around. More undrafted rookies from this year. You've got, you know, who did they sign? James Brooks of Virginia Tech, Don Barclay of West Virginia, Mike McCabe of Holy Cross, Shay Allard of Delaware. The list goes on. You know, pardon me if I'm missing somebody here among their backups, but you know, that's the Packers offensive line. These young guys, obviously, I don't know a whole lot about them yet. We'll learn about them during training camp as you get to see them, and who knows, maybe one of them will stick out and make the team, or perhaps more likely make the practice squad. You hope that's the case, and they do well. I mean, wish nothing but all of them good luck, and that's your Packers offensive line for 2012, and kind of concludes our preview today that has taken us over the 9 o'clock usual stopping time here at Railbird Central, but that's all right. It's Friday. It's the end of the week. Have a good weekend, everyone. Like I said, your last weekend basically without Packers football. It all gets started next week. Tuesday, shareholder meeting. Players report Wednesday. Practice begins Thursday. And you got practice for several consecutive days. It's all beginning now. So rest up this weekend. Have a good one. And we'll see you back here Monday morning on Railbird Central. Stay tuned for all your Packers needs here as well. So have a good one. On behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caravu. I'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. I leave you today with a song called Cemetery Walk 2 by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go.